the despair they feel because they're living for earthly riches. And when the earthly riches begin to fade away, they feel like they fade away with it. Christ followers are better than that. And genuine Christ followers must be better than that. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Cause all I want is to be in the light. Yeah. All I want is to be in the light.
Hi friends, we are starting to talk about Holy Week here today, which is one of the most important weeks of the year. We set it aside as a time to reflect and pray and be grateful for what Jesus has done in our lives. And it's also a time to think about what he did on the cross. What really is Holy Week about? Why is it important? What is Easter for anyways? If these are questions that you're asking, we want you to stick around and walk the Calvary Road with us over the next few episodes. We will be moving through the book of Matthew together. Hey, Robbie, why do you think it's so important to set aside time during Holy Week?
Yeah, and I really, again, as we're getting closer to that actual week, it's so important to me, and I hope our listeners as well, that we prepare our hearts for the magnitude, the seriousness, the sober-mindedness of what this week represented. I mean, it was... If you put yourself there, I try so hard, Shannon, to enter into this. Each year we try to lead our church in this too. It's very, very important. So we're praying that these passages for where you are right now will make you, again, reflect, consider, and be very prayerful of all that Christ suffered in his Passion Week, that you and I might be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ if we received, again, his grace through faith. So may the Holy Spirit specifically be renewing our minds and allowing our hearts to draw near to Calvary to reflect upon all that happened, that we might have the hope now living within us.
Absolutely. Let's get right to our message today. Open your Bible with me, if you're able, to Matthew chapter 21, and we will join Pastor Robbie in verse 1.
Amen. You may be seated. I pray that you are encouraged. Please pray with me again. Father, we thank you for the truth that we just are able to sing the reality of the week coming up to remember your death, burial, and yes, your resurrection. Where would we be without the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Every one of us saved truly by grace through faith in Jesus, the hope we have, the hope, our living hope. Father, we are in need of you again this day, right now. So aware of weakness and need, dependence for your power, your strength, your ability to teach us right now by your Holy Spirit. I pray every heart, man, woman, child, every heart would be impacted in one way or another. Please, oh God, please, would you communicate your word by your Spirit? Would you comfort us? Would you teach us? Again, how much we need you. I just don't tire, Father, of just declaring to you how much I need you and we need you. So I pray this time is one that is laser focused on Jesus Christ. And I pray this is a time where you will be changing lives again in our midst. Please, God, may it be so. We pray this together in Jesus' name. If you agree, you can say amen, amen. On this important day, as we gather as the body of Christ and as the bride of Christ, as the family of God, it's always, always a big deal. Let's get our Bibles open to Matthew 21. Matthew 21 is where we are today. I'm so thankful for Pastor Carl, Pastor Brandon that have led us so far through this series. Truly, you are the Son of God. We are moving through and we are desiring again to walk with intention, church. We are walking with intention along the Calvary Road together. We are currently and chronologically moving through Matthew's gospel all the way to Easter Sunday, to Resurrection Sunday. So everything we do, again, from last weekend, today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, we are moving chronologically through Matthew's gospel, again, in our series. That's why you don't want to miss a day or a passage as we do this. Today is obviously Palm Sunday, which is why then we're in Matthew 21, which marks it. This week, too, we are inviting our entire church to walk the Calvary Road together. This is going to culminate on Good Friday And then the idea, of course, of rejoicing on Resurrection Sunday too, okay? Now, let me just cast a little bit of vision for the week that's upcoming for us. We are asking, we are inviting our church family to set apart the following 7 days to be unlike any other week in the year. We are inviting you to allow the next 7 days to truly be a holy week of sorts within your life. We are shutting down programs and across our church almost entirely, again, with great purpose and intention. We are having prayer meetings Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. They're going to be an hour long. They're not going to be long. We're going to have a couple of songs, again, based on Good Friday themes or Holy Week themes. We're going to have about a 15-minute devotional leading into prayer time Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Hear from my heart again to yours. We are asking you this week to fast from things we normally do or things we normally eat. We are asking you to fast from certain types of food or food again in general. We're asking you to fast from certain activities. We're asking you to fast from certain programs. We're asking you to fast from entertainment of sorts. Why? To then replace it with a pursuit and love of Jesus Christ, who is worthy again of our devotion and praise. Let me say this too. I'm not just inviting you to one of the three prayer meetings. Personally, and as elders, we're inviting you to all three. We're inviting you to come to every single night. This is not a guilt trip. This is an invitation to a glory trip. We are inviting you. Well, why do we do this? Why do this? And I think 1 week out of 52 is reasonable. One out of 52 for Jesus Christ like this? That's not asking much. He gave everything. He died. He paid for all our sin. Again, and inviting each of us to say, hey, don't just come for some. Again, I'm encouraging you, not a guilt trip, but it's an invitation to a glory trip, to pursue Jesus Christ. Why do we do this? Because he is worthy. Because Jesus Christ is worthy. Because we love him. And because we want to show him how much we love him, that he for 1 week is more important than entertainment. For 1 week, he's more important. For 1 hour, he's more important than an activity or a hobby. For 1 week of the year, this is going to be different. That's the invitation for us, again, as a church, as we enter into Holy Week. This is the Calvary Road that we do now every year. So when it comes up each year, we're already ready months or weeks ahead of time to say we're setting aside this week in a special way for the pursuit of Jesus Christ. Again, just hear me one more time. It's not a guilt trip. It's an invitation to pursue Jesus Christ because he is worthy. And today is part of that. Today is part of that. We're getting serious on our road to Calvary right now as we're in Matthew 21. This is obviously Palm Sunday and the triumphant entry of Christ. Our sermon title is this, The King Makes His Entrance. Of course, this is Palm Sunday. This is the beginning, listen, of Passion Week, or also called Holy Week. As we come to our text today, this is a momentous occasion. Listen, it's a momentous occasion whether or not the people fully understand. And the reason it's a momentous occasion is because the Father's eternal plan for rescue and salvation has entered now into its final phase. King Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory, has left his throne in glory. The King has come to earth. The king now in our text today officially enters Jerusalem, and the king has come fully knowing that he has come for one reason, and that is to die for the sins of humanity. Look at Matthew 21 and look at verse again, one here. It says this. I'm going to read our text in full and we'll jump in together. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. That's encouraging to me. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, he's quoting now Zechariah 9, verse 5, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most, verse 8, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this? Who is this guy?" I added, "Guy it." And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." So this major, major moment again in all of history, really, the king has made his entrance. And now we ask the question, what do we know about this king? Who is this king prophesied of such long ago and now is making his entrance? We see four main things from our text today. Number one, we learn this. Who is this king? He holds all sovereignty and authority. This king holds all sovereignty and authority. Again, look down at verse 2. So the two disciples, Jesus sends them, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." Now, it's easy to read these verses and just kind of gloss over them or simply move on, but I believe these verses demonstrate in a specific and powerful way the total sovereignty and authority of Jesus Christ. Notice again how perfectly in control Jesus is of what's happening right now. This is a very, very major moment. Jesus is in full and absolute control. Jesus says to his two disciples, "Go." Jesus says, "Immediately." Then Jesus says, "You will find." He says, "Untie." He says, "Bring them to me." He says, "If anyone says, you shall say." You shall say what? "The Lord needs them and he will send them at once." I love this because Jesus knows exactly what's happening. It's the Father's plan unfolding. Jesus is sovereign and Jesus is absolutely authoritative as he unfolds the plan of giving his own life and dying willingly on your behalf and mine. I love the detail here of God's sovereignty in perfect harmony again with God's rescue plan of salvation before time even began. That's again how infinitely wise and again foreknowing our God is. We have this particular village. We have this exact time. We have a specific donkey and a colt to fulfill what? To fulfill an exact prophecy that was made by Zechariah about 500 years earlier. Astounding, encouraging. What do we learn? Who's in control? Jesus is in perfect control. Who is sovereign? Jesus is perfectly sovereign. Who holds all authority? Jesus holds all authority in heaven and on earth. Again, church, Jesus is perfectly fulfilling the Father's plan. It is time now for the king to make his entrance. It is time now for the donkey to be again retrieved that the prophecy may be fulfilled. The time wasn't until now. Jesus again, age 33, his ministry going on for 3 years. A month ago, it wasn't the time. A year ago, it wasn't the time. 3 years, it wasn't. Now's the time. Now's the time. The Father knows, the Son knows, the Spirit of God within this as well. Jesus Christ, fully sovereign and again, authoritative. I also love in verse 3 when Jesus says this, he says to his disciples, "You shall say, 'The Lord needs them.'" The word "Lord" here is indicating that Jesus is the Lord over all creation. That means Jesus owns everything. He owns it all. It's all his. He made it. Again, the Gospels and the Epistles tell us in him all things hold together. And he created all things. Jesus Christ made everything. Therefore, when he needs a donkey, he gets a donkey. He owns the donkey. The Lord owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And in this case, the Lord owns 1,000 donkeys. On 1,000 hills, or donkeys on 1,000 hills, however you want to say that. We see the glimpses of God's glory throughout the Easter story. The absolute authority and power of Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus owns the donkey because he made the donkey. And when he needs the donkey, he will use the donkey. And to that I say, praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, you're awesome. You own it all. And you do whatever pleases you and whatever fulfills God's perfect plan. It's interesting, in Luke's account of the triumphal entry, the earthly owners, when the disciples come to get the donkey, they actually say, "Why are you untying it?" And the disciples respond, "Because the Lord needs it." And they went on their way. That's a neat trick, eh, by the disciples? They're like, "The Lord needs it." And they're like, okay. I wonder if like, hey, the Lord needs your steak dinner too. Hey, eh? Whatever the Lord needs, he gets.
Because the Lord, again, owns it all. The Lord is sovereign and authoritative over everything. We see this in a small detail, but it's a wonderful truth and encourages us. So he is the king of authority. He is fully sovereign, which is why, number two, he is also the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. He came as the king. It was the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. Look at verse 4 now. This took place to fulfill, underline, circle, highlight, what was spoken by the prophet. Here's Zechariah 9:9 saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold your king. Your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. So what Matthew loves to do in his gospel, he quotes an Old Testament prophecy that is fulfilled, again, only obviously in Christ. Here again, he specifically quotes Zechariah 9:9, which is the prophecy that the king has come. He will be coming and riding on a donkey. Just by way of interest, this is the 9th out of 10 times that Matthew specifically shows and proves that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of prophecy directly related to the Messiah. Matthew loves pointing this out, and we should love hearing it as well. There's only one who can fulfill such messianic prophecies. His name is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 again. It says, this took place to fulfill, right? What is Matthew getting at? Everything points to Jesus Christ. Matthew is indicating here that Jesus is the center point of history. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. This is why the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, he says regarding Jesus, all the promises of God find their yes in him, their yes in Christ. This is why, without a shadow of a doubt, it's historically accurate, and we know this, of course, to be true. Jesus is the most influential and important person who ever lived. Second place isn't even close, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is Messiah, sent by God as the Savior of the world. Again, that's why history is his story. Jesus is the fulfillment of salvation prophecy. What a moment this is. The king has come riding on a donkey. Let us notice too, this prophecy is not about the opposite of what I just said. It's not about a political military king riding on a grandiose warrior horse. Rather, it's the prophecy of a humble servant king riding in again on a donkey. What do we learn here? We learn here that Jesus has not come to do war in a battlefield to conquer the Romans, which is exactly what the Jewish people were looking for in the proposed Messiah. They wanted a physical defeat of the oppressors that surrounded them. Jesus has not come to do battlefield to conquer the Romans. Jesus has come to declare war on and to conquer sin. How? By dying on a cross. Jesus came, it says, the prophecy says, he would be humble and mounted on a donkey. That word humble, the same word in Matthew 11 for gentleness or meekness. Jesus Christ came and humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the symbol. This is what we see. Again, hey, loved ones, the people wanted a military warrior. The plan of God demanded a humble servant king. This is the plan of God. The people wanted physical rescue. The plan of the Father was to deliver spiritual rescue, which is by far so greatly needed. I want you to think of this too, right? The king has come. Well, every king has a kingdom. You can't be a king without a kingdom. Listen, this king came. Behold, your king is coming. The king has come to give entrance into his kingdom. The reason he came to die for our sins, to be raised from the dead, was to give entrance that we might become part of his kingdom. That's important for all Christ followers here right now. This is why we live. This is our purpose. Now, our world is obsessed with earthly kingdoms. Our world is obsessed with that which is here on earth, proven this week as our society and essentially world rides the roller coaster of delight and despair, depending on what the stock market does. How many people in despair this week as the stock market loses 5, 10%, whatever it is? The despair they feel because they're living for earthly riches. And when the earthly riches begin to fade away, they feel like they fade away with it. Christ followers are better than that. And genuine Christ followers must be better than that. We're not living for the stock market. I'm not telling you to be unwise with what God has entrusted you with. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you to double down on wisdom when it comes to the kingdom of God. You and I aren't living for earthly kingdoms. We're instructed by Christ himself. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. I read this morning, again, in my own Bible readings, some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen, 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 amen. Yes, that's right. That's right. The world trusts in chariots and horses. Not us. Not us. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. So we don't delight and despair with what the economy is doing, or in this case, the stock market. We don't do that because we live for something so much greater, so much eternal, everlasting purpose and joy. That's what true Christ followers understand. That our God holds all sovereignty and authority, that our God is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy, which allows us to be reminded of why we actually live. Who is this king? Well, he's awesome. Let's get to point number three. This king is confirmed as Savior and Messiah. He's confirmed as Savior and Messiah. Verse 6, now the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd, live in the text here, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, picture it, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, picture it, and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, wow, exclamation mark, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, exclamation mark, Hosanna in the highest, exclamation mark, okay, so we got to live in the text here. We got to live in the text. This scene is quite remarkable for many reasons. First, notice the crowds. Very large. In verse 10, we read, the whole city was stirred up. The NIV translates verse 8 as very large crowds. It is suggested this was obviously the time of Passover, and all the pilgrims came to Jerusalem. Some suggest up to 2 million people would have been in Jerusalem during this season. Hundreds of thousands, for sure. Hundreds of thousands of people were gathered again at this time. How many here now? We don't know for sure, but there is a lot, very large crowds, the Bible is telling us here. Second, the people start spreading their cloaks and branches on the road. Why would they do that? That is specifically designed as a designation for a royal procession. We are learning here, this is a clear indication of the red carpet entrance that is only fit for a king. By the way, it is John's gospel that refers to the branches, solely John's gospel refers to the branches as palm branches, which is where over time, the liturgical tradition is calling today Palm Sunday. A little note on this, an insight too, and what the people, again, why they were waving palm branches, we think of Revelation 7:9, and the picture again, and the throne, all that's happening again, and that amazing thing where the great multitude is gathered around every nation, tribe, and tongue. They are standing before the throne and the Lamb. They are wearing white robes and waving palm branches and declaring salvation belongs to the Lord. This scene is intentional. This scene is massive, again, by the will of God. Notice in verse 9, it says the crowds are before him and the crowds are following him, right? So picture Jesus riding in and crowds completely engulfing Jesus Christ, and they're declaring their messianic hopes. Next, we see these large crowds begin shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Every word matters here. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This, without a doubt, is a royal coronation procession of the Messiah. The moment the people say Son of David, that's a direct reference to the Messiah. They are basically saying, save us now, Hosanna in the highest. Again, the crowd quotes directly from Psalm 118, which is a psalm directly prophesying regarding the Christ, the sent one, the chosen one, Messiah. Again, Hosanna means God save. God save us. The people were excited, fired up. They are filled with such hope as the way they understand it. Hosanna in the highest, an incredibly high statement of blessing to Jesus here, again, riding in on the donkey. Now, what are the people ultimately celebrating about? And what do they hope will happen in this moment? The people, it's interesting, eh? Like they're saying, Hosanna in the highest, the son of David. This is a Passover. Of course, Passover was the time where they are commemorating and remembering the physical deliverance of God's people out of Egypt from the brutal, harsh reign of Pharaoh. And so the people are thinking, man, that happened then for God's people out of Egypt. They were saved. They were rescued militarily out of the hands of Pharaoh. And now Jesus of Nazareth is coming and we'll be saved now from the Romans. He's going to do it again. He's going to deliver us physically, nationally, politically. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus did not come to save the Jewish people politically or nationally. Jesus came to save all people spiritually. Because the reality of our spiritual need is infinitely greater than any political or national need. By the way, that's a great application right now and insight because we have our federal election coming up in just a couple of weeks. How should we approach the federal election? Well, first of all, listen, you should vote. 100% you should vote. You better vote. That's our responsibility. You need to. That's so, so important. And also, you should vote with wisdom. We're not a political church. We are a biblical church. But there are several issues that are very biblical that we need to be aware of and to care about. And you need to educate yourself and be mindful of that you can steward, again, the opportunity that God has entrusted to you with. We are wise and we need to do that as responsible citizens and, again, taking our responsibility seriously. However, at the end of the day, our hope is not in any government. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is not in the political savior that might come in whatever way. Our hope, reality, again, right here, Jesus came. The people are like, save us politically. Jesus is like, how about I save you eternally? This is the need we have far more than any other. So many people in our world are obsessed again with the temporal. It's not all wrong, but if that's all you do, then it is wrong. The greatest need by far is that our sins would be forgiven by the grace and the gift of Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again. And the only way we access that gift is by faith in believing. Jesus Christ came with this purpose. And the people right now, they're saying the right things by the plan of God, but they don't fully understand what they're saying. And the reason we know that too is just a few days from Palm Sunday, many of these same people would be shouting in that place of court of Jesus. They'd be shouting, crucify him, crucify him. But listen, it doesn't change the truth of what they're saying, son of David, by the will of God. Hosanna in the highest by the will of God. See, God's sovereignty in this moment is 100% true, right? This is why in Luke's gospel, the religious Pharisees have had enough. They've had enough. Again, let's put that verse up for a second. They've had enough of Jesus being declared son of David. And so what they say at the end, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, they can't take it anymore. They're so angry, upset. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Teacher, rebuke them.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here, and without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.